The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this 11th day of April 2017. And by the way, one other thing here about Fox News. Sean Hannity, who does he keep having up as a guest constantly? Newt Gingrich. Was Newt Gingrich a good guy? Was he a good Speaker of the House? No, he certainly was not. But he was a face. And I would say single-handedly, Sean Hannity resurrected his sordid, dirty little past. Somehow he's been refreshed. I personally can't stand the man. Can't even stand to look at him. No, I was talking about Newt Gingrich. Sean Hannity. He keeps bragging on his radio program that, you know, he's becoming a beast. He trains 5 days a week in the martial arts and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why are you doing that? Because you think a disgruntled listener is going to go after you and you need to protect yourself? Hell, for short range, just plinking, I got a 32 semi-automatic will do that. World War II origin. German. Accurate as hell. Little double tap, you're done. Don't ever bring a fist fight to a gunfight. Bob in Phoenix. Hello, Bob.
Hey, John. I'm going to be the bad guy. And I'm going to say to everybody, I told you so. Where I'm coming from is that I never, ever felt that Trump was an outsider. He was always an insider. And what I did was I did a little bit of Google search on some of the past of Trump. And to remind everybody, his mentor was Steve Cohen, who was a big Zionist mob guy that mentored him all through his up-and-comings, through all the little buying and selling of businesses.
And well, hold on. Just stop here a second, Bob.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it depends upon if you want a guy that works in and out of the mob as your president. Well, here's a little bit of history.
Well, wait a minute. JFK had Frank Sinatra, and Frank was tied to the mob. Yeah. And look what they did to him. Anyhow.
So anyway, if everybody can remember Mayor Lansky, he was the guy, the head mob guy, right? he was going to bring gambling on shore. I leave Las Vegas alone, but bring it to the east. And he started working on it, and the guy that he appointed was James Crosby. Well, James Crosby died. And the guy that replaced him was Trump. And further down the line, Trump also received loans from people like George Soros. And look at the people that he has appointed around him. He's just recently fired McFarlane, one of the last of the peace people. And he's replaced them with people that are on the Council on Foreign Relations and McMasters.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of think that what we're having here is the real Trump. So what do you have to say about that, John?
Bob, what I have to say about that, now let me digest what you're saying here.
Yeah.
He was an outsider in this respect. Did he use his money? Did he go after the people that could get things done? Most assuredly. Because what Donald Trump discovered is everybody else is doing it. If you want to get ahead, or you want to at least have a shot at being in the game, you're going to do what you have to do. I can understand that. Can I forgive it? Well, you and I probably wouldn't conduct ourselves like that. But we're talking about the secular cutthroat business world. So you're going to bring on whoever you can. By the way, little known fact about Meyer Lansky. When he did his little gambling house in Las Vegas, you know what the mob was really pissed off about at him? He wouldn't rig the games. He ran straight-up games in his casino, and they couldn't stand that. Of course, Meyer kind of fudged the fact on how much this little endeavor was going to take, and his girlfriend was a little loopy, and she was cutting some out for herself. But that's just money. That can be paid back. But Meyer Lansky wasn't really the mob guy that they thought he was. He actually, believe this or not, he actually would give the sucker an even break. Who are the odds with? They're always with house. But he was satisfied with those odds, and he wouldn't rig the games. So he kind of fell out of disfavor with his mob buddies. But I understand what you're saying. I understand. But he wasn't a politician. He would use the politicians for his advantage, whether it be Hillary Clinton or whomever. That's the way the game is played, and he knew that. And he took full advantage, and he made himself successful. It's always better to have friends in high places than low places. When you get in a jam, a person in low places is going to do the no neck and palms up and go, well, what can I do? You know? I understand what you're saying, and I hope it ain't so, Joe. It very well may be. Hold on. Let me finish my thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
Having said that, my impression of John Fitzgerald Kennedy was he was a politician. He came up through the ranks. We know who his daddy was. We know who his brother was. What I think John F. Kennedy was becoming was the man that people thought he was. Not the man that walked into that White House, but to how that man evolved. And he had some courage. You want to do a profile in courage, he did some pretty gutsy things when he was in office. And obviously, he rubbed the masters the wrong way. Hence, that's why he was turned into human confetti on that fateful day in Dallas, Texas. Do I have the same hopes for Trump? I don't know. But here again, Bob, let's consider the president of the United States is supposed to have a very limited role along with that executive branch. That has been distorted and blown way out. They're no longer coloring inside the lines. And the very simple solution to this problem has been staring us in the face for all of these years. You know it, and I know it. It's called our Constitution. It's called our Bill of Rights. It's called positive law. This doesn't have anything to do with administrative law. This has to do with common sense and common law for the common people. They have created their matrix, their all-powerful matrix, and if you threaten that matrix, well, guess what? You're not in a position to resist them in any form or fashion, not to any degree, And if you continue to do it, we'll just make you go away permanently. This thing is not lost. We have bad people that are not permanent. They live, breathe, eat, and crap like everybody else does, and they have to die just like everybody else does. We're talking about movable objects. We're talking about bad people in positions that have to be removed. The question should be, what is the best way to accomplish this? Everything else is static. It's inanimate. It's buildings, it's roads, it's infrastructure. It's the people that matter. It's us that matters. Bob, I hope I didn't take too much edge off there.
No, I was... the other point that I was going to make and to remind everybody that one of the key drivers on this is that there is that group that wants that pipeline from Israel through Syria to Europe. And if they get Assad out of there, they're going to put in that pipeline, which in turn will marginalize Putin. And Putin sells his gas to Europe. Putin is not going to let that happen. Plus, you have the Strait of Hormuz, and that is the one area of which Russia has its access to the open sea. So this is going to be a very touchy situation in the next few days because Putin cannot let this go by.
Well, and the economic side of this, I think you make a valid point, but I don't think that's the major consideration. You know, it was Putin and Russia's arms that were invited into Syria. And was it to protect their business interests? Yeah, that might be part of it. But there's a bigger game at stake here, and this is not missed by Vladimir Putin as to what the real deal in the Middle East is. Who is the power there? Who's orchestrating this stuff? And who is the patsy that's acting in proxy for them? That has been us. Hell, did Israel directly kill 2 million people? No, they didn't. Did they help? You damn betcha they did. Are they complicit? Hell yeah, they are. But we're the ones that have to take the responsibility for this. And for all the name-calling of Vladimir Putin and Assad and all this other stuff, I almost laugh out loud when I see these sanctimonious, self-righteous asshats in the media and elsewhere in this country pretending as they are the moral high ground, as if they are without sin, casting, you know, just calling names and just being belligerent idiots. As if somehow that we're above this. They don't know who we are, and they don't know what we have done. And they're just the damn cheerleaders out there, cheerleading for the winning, what they perceive to be the winning side. And as long as they get a good fat check cut out for themselves, that's as far as their patriotism goes. Bob, I thank you for your call, sir.
All right. Good conversation, John.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Anybody else? I better refresh me. You ain't refreshing me, brother. And? Wait a minute, Rick. Don't speak yet. Oh, here he is. Rick in Arizona. Now you can speak.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I got a little bit different take on all this. I'm not scared. I think all this war talk, it's all a distraction from the crap we're not getting, like tax cuts and getting rid of Obamacare. Any one of these countries can sink any of our aircraft carriers. I mean, hell, technology is even the playing field. So I think...
Well, okay, hold on a second, Rick. Let me interject something. Yeah, it's true that a lot of countries have the capability to sink our ships and do whatever. But could you imagine what they would know that would happen to them? Could you imagine putting a legitimate reason for the United States and the military to go after them? What we have seen is...
We should go after them.
Yeah. But
we got to remember, our supply lines are very far away. It's a limited... Yeah, I really think it's a look, it's pie in the sky for the for they think you're going to get in a war with these people. We lost to Korea already. And Russia stopped the Germans. And Iran can sink the Sixth Fleet. I think it's propaganda. I'm sorry. It's all a distraction.
Rick, you don't hear me going, oh, well, you know, going into World War III, and oh, my God. You don't see me or hear me pulling my...
I'm not saying you.
No. I'm speaking in general here. I'm not talking about myself here. I'm speaking in general. I see what you see going on out there, and I'm not buying it either. This is why I've not been pushing the World War III thing. I watched the people in this country talk show host all, ooh, Sharia law, ooh, the Muslims, ooh, and all the while being played by the very people that are sitting in the back row in the dark of the theater laughing their asses off right now, watching this thing play out. And quite frankly,
I'm just saying, I hear everywhere on the internet, you know, it's going to go nuclear and all this kind of thing. Really? Okay. I mean, but it's more of a distraction, so you don't think about the Obamacare you just got screwed on and the tax cuts you're not going to get, and Hillary's not in jail. And it's, you know, it'll all blow over, in my opinion.
Well, it very well might, because when you get down to the point where people actually considering the fact that, wait a minute, I can be picking myself out of the rubble and I only have 30 days to live because I'm radioactive and I'm half-cooked right now. Yeah, that has a sobering effect. This is why I've always said of the globalist, you know, that they're always digging holes and planning supplies that they could live out a nuclear strike. Yeah, okay, great. My reaction to that was, well, when they crawl down the hole, let me make sure that they're buried and they never get out, if I have the time to do it. But what are they saving themselves for? A radioactive world? A world that would be useless to them? You know, I mean, these are the thoughts that go through my mind. And I'm with you, Rick. I don't think there's going to be anything that happens here that's going to be of any great consequence. And it very well could be that the distraction is the tax cut. The distraction is Obamacare. The distraction is Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation to keep us away from seeing the real sword of Damocles that's been swinging over our necks for many years. And I'm talking about the bankers.
Yep.
So the whole damn thing could be a weapon of mass distraction. But again, I really don't care because I know what's wrong and I know what needs to be done to make it right. That's what I continually stay focused on.
All right, John. Thanks a lot.
All right, Rick. Well, I appreciate your call. Yeah, I don't think this is going nuclear, folks. I really don't. At least I hope I'm right. At least I hope I'm right. I was mentioning earlier here about North Korea. And this, I mean, they've come out, the North Korea media is warning of a nuclear strike and the U.S. have provoked. Really? You're going to launch a missile at the United States. And then what? Then you could sit there and watch your country disappear. Is that blinding flash of light, that millisecond between that and oblivion? So Donald Trump wants to project power to our enemies. So we send a warship over to the Korean Peninsula. Is North Korea looking for trouble? Not really, because if they find it, they won't survive it, and they know it. I'll take George in Hawaii after we come back. 800-313-9443.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tax reform in this country? what do you mean? You're going to cut off the only source of revenue, the people running in that little hamster wheel? So you're going to cut the taxes to the people that you need to pay the debt down. Oh, that's right. Can't retire debt with debt. You keep on running in your hamster wheel, you better kick it up to fifth gear here. Got to run harder. The government needs you. George in Hawaii. Hello, George.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Hey, listen, you got a good, strong radio voice. It's amazing. You don't falter. You're honest, straightforward. You're strong on your opinions, and I really respect that, and I respect Republic.
Well, I thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Tremendously. And I mean that from my heart. I really do. I look at Hannity and hear Limbaugh and O'Reilly and this Gingrich and Jones, and they talk about being pumped up and who they are and what they are. And I tell you what, I don't think any of them could really hold a candle to the work that you guys do at Republic. You have a lot of good work going on there. I'm very appreciative. I listen to you on the Internet, and I wish you guys and the people in Republic, your listeners, people that are supporting Republic, the best of luck, and good luck to all of you.
Well, and George, I hope Mike Rivera was right, and he knows the right people, and Hawaii secedes from the union, because RBN RBN will be coming down to Hawaii, and I'll finally get to drink my little umbrella drink on the black sand beach in Hawaii somewhere.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Oh, I'm telling you, brother.
If you ever get here, I'd love to host you for a little bit. Rivero is very good. I'm glad that he's in the island state, and I listen to him also. But I tell you what, John, and this is the truth, I can turn on any one of 3, 4, 5, 6 TV channels and watch all these talking heads and these faces, and they're all blank, and they all need a tan, and they all lie.
They lie like rugs. You know, I mean, it always fascinates me. You know, how much convincing do you have to do yourself or to yourself to ease a conscience, and this is assuming you have one, to allow yourself to get a good night's sleep with all the crap that you're doing? You know, which leads me to believe that some of these guys just stay in the self-created bubble and they never poke their head outside of it. Otherwise, how the hell could they live with themselves?
John, I could add one thing to that, and it's medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of these guys are medicating themselves at night, because what they do in the day and how they look at you and how they act is absolutely so disingenuous and so unfeeling and uncaring. It just makes absolutely no sense.
You know, do you remember when Sean Hannity and Alan Combs were doing the Hannity and Combs show on Fox?
Yeah, I do very well, sir.
When I went to the Republican National Convention up in New York City back in 2004, what an experience that was. But when I was stuck in the Fox newsroom and I was relegated, I was kept purposely off of Radio Row, and I was stuck down in their newsroom. And their makeshift dressing rooms, Combs and Hannity had their own little curtained-off dressing rooms. When I was going to get my free food there from Fox News, and I walked by Combs' little dressing room, he popped out, and I looked at him, and I said, "Alan Combs." And he looked at me, and he smiled, and I stuck out my hand, and I shook his hand. Well, Hannity, being the egotistical one, he wanted his fair share of time. There he comes popping out, not even all the way dressed, popping out of his little makeshift dressing room to say hi, and he stuck out his hand for me to shake it. And I just looked at Alan, and I said, "You know, it was nice meeting you." And I looked at Hannity, and I just walked away. The reason I did that is because even though the politics of Alan Combs was way left-leaning, he was honest, and he was honest in his approach, and he was honest in his intent. There wasn't anything phony about this guy. You know, not to say that he had sincerity. I mean, I didn't agree with 90% of what this guy said, but it was who he was. And many times on Hannity and Combs, I saw Combs making more points than what Sean Hannity, supposedly upholding God, apple pie, the Constitution, and whatever else, and conservatism.
Well, you know, as you brought up earlier, this rebirth of Newt Gingrich is absolutely nauseating. Huh. It takes me back to a time that I'd like to forget.
Boy, you and I both. You know, there's only one cure for people like that, and it's called death. That's not a threat. A natural death. I just hope it comes sooner rather than later. George, I've got a break. I've got to run.
Well, bless you, my brother.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What in God's name is that? No, Michael, you and I have to have the meeting of the minds here. Just because you throw something up there, don't call it variety. Okay? You know the kind of music I like. I like something with a little bit of something to it. Even if you do have to pick a couple phrases out of a song, you know, and that's not what the song is about. Jeez. What the hell was that anyhow? Some North African guy. Great. Super. As good as Jeff Beck? Oh, my God. Where are my side cutters? I'm going to cut your tongue out. Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in to kind of second the sentiments of the fellow who was talking about the Chabad Lubavitch movement and Jared Kushner's affiliation. That's not something to sneeze at. That's pretty influential. It's very unusual. It's an ultra-Orthodox Jewish group whose Messiah figure, Rabbi, passed away a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, much as the Rastafarians have Haile Selassie as a passed away messiah, you know, or it's kind of like the communists go to Lenin's tomb and all that kind of stuff. They're very, very influential, and the rabbi is very rapidly anti-Gentile. And this group holds the view that, you know, Gentiles exist to be servants for the Jews, that the Jews should rule the world from the fully expanded Eretz Israel according to the old Abrahamic covenant, and the Gentiles should be ruled according to what's called the Noahai, the laws. Mm-hmm. The Jews would follow the kosher laws, and the Gentiles are all to be mandatorily, worldwide, to be mandatorily subjected to the Noahai laws, mm-hmm. which is a simpler version of covenant. And it's really like when you read, you know, these Talmudic authors and how rapidly, you know, hateful, condescending, and contemptuous they are of the Gentiles. It's really disturbing.
Well, and this is the product of self-proclamation that you're the chosen people.
Yeah, but chosen for what? They seem to overlook the fact that they're chosen to be mediators of the divine covenant. You know, that the God is communicating. God doesn't hold his whole creation in contempt. You know, I mean, in the Talmud, they even have, like, stories about rabbis arguing with God and winning and stuff like that. You know,
what would you expect from people that proclaim themselves to be God's chosen? Now, obviously, God mm-hmm. chose them for a reason, because they were the brightest and capable of giving God a good argument, maybe even winning one here and there. This is how arrogant they are. But see, here's the point. Here's the point of what I was saying before, and I want to reiterate this, is that through law, the positive law, through constitutional law, for good people doing the right thing and turning away those that aren't so good, do you think that Jewish influence would be that great in this country? Where did they first get their toehold in this country? Wasn't it through the banks?
Yeah. I would guess so. I mean,
if you're going to be a power player, show me your power, and I'll tell you why you're a power player. It was their influence over the economy, basically the control of our economy. They were the middlemen. Well, they placed themselves to be the middlemen, making money out of something that they themselves create.
We even have Revolutionary War era stories of, like, Chaim Solomon as a Revolutionary War financier, or the carpetbaggers after the Civil War with the Reconstruction era and all that kind of stuff, you know. So they've you know, always been a presence, and, you know, usually finance is involved, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, actually, I thought of one other thing I wanted to mention. I've heard you talk about Trump and things he could do to stand up for, you know, like the agenda he was proclaiming during his campaign. And I mentioned this the other day, I think, with Mike Rivero. Jesse Ventura has a story he tells about when he became governor of Minnesota. I think it was from 93 to 99. He gets started, sworn in, started on the job. And after a few days, he gets invited down. He gets taken down to a meeting in a conference room full of suit and tie heavies who say, hello there, you know, hey, congratulations on your gubernatorial win. Welcome aboard. And
meet the people that are the power behind your throne.
Yeah, exactly. Let us tell you how it's going to be, because we run things around here.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks very much about that. And I'm very sure, I mean, Henry Kissinger didn't visit him at Trump Tower twice before he was sworn in, just to have tea and crumpets or whatever. You know, and who knows what he's been told since then. And given these strange behaviors, you know, all these people who were really of Trump's ilk, stepping down, recusing themselves, getting pulled off committees, all this stuff going on, I really think he's being relegated to, you know, sort of a Dowager Prince role. You know, I'm waiting for them to bind his feet so he can't go anywhere. When somebody is threatened, you know, your wife, your kids, you know, your businesses, your own life and stuff, you might just feel a little bit cowed. And I think it's pretty serious stuff, you know.
Well, I, you know, what you've just said, you know, Glenn, I agree with what you just say. But look, if you are to be president of the United States and you know what needs to be done and you claim you know how to get there, well, then you better help. You better pick the people that can see your visions and your goals. And
okay.
What?
Yeah, it's a battle between good and evil, but when there aren't enough good people or enough people of courage to stand with you, I mean, if 1 in 3 were bad or 1 in 4 were bad or even 1 in 2, you could still pick the good. But, I mean, when everybody, you know, you're surrounded by jackals and wolves and sellouts and there's nobody to pick and nobody will stand up with you, it can be pretty tough. You know?
Okay, hold on. Do you think Donald Trump does not have the ability to sit back and assess and maybe go out and pick some good people?
I don't know if he was even have access. Somebody was saying today that he's not even using his cell phone anymore or something like that. He reminded me again, like, of the Dowager Princesses of China, you know, that, yeah, they're royals, but they were so controlled by those around them that they were really ineffectual titular heads, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so part of me was so frustrated by this week. I said, part of me was thinking after Gorsuch gets confirmed, he may as well step down because he's so utterly compromised. But then I've heard other people talk about this. It's like, yeah, he might be able to stand there and do what good he can. I mean, if he can hold out until Bader Ginsburg retires or dies, maybe he can get another decent judge in the court. I've heard people talk about not Napolitano. There's no way in hell they'd ever get Napolitano approved, but maybe he can get someone of a somewhat, you know, conservative constitutionalist ilk. He may yet be able to appoint another Supreme Court justice. Or if he can continue blocking these, he blocked TPP, but they're still trying to get these H-1B visas through and all these H-1B visa workers. That directly threatens me.
Donald,
or anyone who can help.
Could you imagine, remember Donald Trump says, I didn't want this job. You know, I didn't need this job. I think it was the correct, and we have witnessed a time lapse in your own head of the people who have taken that Oval Office, and look what happens to them in a very short amount of time. If Donald Trump doesn't want to do what has to be done, he's not going to enjoy the next 4 years of his life. And it's going
to
probably...
Hold on.
Hold on.
I'm holding.
Thank you. When you interrupt this old man's thoughts, you know, you kind of throw a monkey wrench in there. What I was about to say is that if Donald Trump actually thought going into the White House that he could make some changes, and he realized he's in a pit of vipers, then you have one or two things you can do. Bring in people, as I just said, that can share your vision and get as much as he can done of his agenda. If he's not going to do this, he's going to have a very miserable 4 years. And what a retirement send-off for a billionaire to be miserable for 4 years of your life. I would have a little different... Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, John, and perhaps that misery, that may be correct, but maybe during that time of misery, he can accomplish some few things that he can accomplish.
Well, that's going to be up to him. You don't know Donald Trump, and I don't know Donald Trump.
No. Well, supposedly one of the reasons Herbert Walker Bush arranged to have John Hinckley shoot Reagan was because Reagan actually got it into his head that he was actually the president and he was trying to do too much. And, you know, so you have that. And you talk about the Miz being miserable. I don't know if you ever heard about John Adams' letter to his nephew. I think John Quincy Adams was John Adams' nephew. And upon hearing, you know, about his... Quincy Adams, this is election, you know, he wrote him a letter and, you know, talked about, you know, how he wouldn't necessarily wish that on his enemy, something to that effect. You know, it was like John Adams talked about how difficult it was being president even back then, you know, and John Quincy Adams is probably our most erudite president. But anyway, yeah, so, you know what the British say, God save the Queen or God save the King. Save the King. Americans say, God bless America. So I'll mix the two up and say, God save the president. You know?
Well, and hopefully imbue him with some middle-of-the-night nightmares that he'll act upon. Put the fear of God in him or something. And when he wakes up the next morning to resume his post as president of the United States, that he'll do it with a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more insight, and maybe a little bit more honesty, and demand that or demand that of the people that are around you.
Or that God might send him some, because this is not a one-man deal. We need a core of good people. So may God send him some ethical, constitutional people to back him up so that he can take a stand.
That would be the one, that would be my number one wish right there. That was the reason why I started out this program. Hopefully people got it, with the two different CEOs doing the same thing but doing it differently. You know, and who the hell would you want to be around?
Yeah, I for one don't want to live in a tyrannical oligarchy or a dying empire. I'd rather, you know, if the founding fathers saw this country as it is today, they'd say it's already metamorphosed or metastasized into, you know, the federal government has become a metastatic tumor on the body politic of America.
And they would be the first ones to follow their own advice and say, you know what, just shut that one down and move it a little bit further out west.
Exactly.
All right.
So hopefully somebody else doesn't shut it down for us. All right, John, take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. By the way, let me take Rob in Chicago here. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, John. I'll tell you what, boy, the mixed emotions that we have is like, it's crazy when as to what's going on and who to, what story to believe. And I try to pass that on, that story you had about the Robert Steele, you know, passing that information. I try to pass it on to my brother real quick. And right away he's poo-pooing it and saying, well, you get these, you know, these stories and these opinions, and I don't know where, you know, you don't have any proof. And yet he's somebody who listens to a Hannity and a few other people, you know, and they get their opinion, but they don't have the self-discovery. They won't take the time, and they won't go and look and scrounge through every nook of every possibility.
Rob, just say it. Your brother is a slug, and he's lazy. He's intellectually lazy.
Well, you know, he was actually waking up to the fact that our country is horribly in trouble. But again, I think this is turtle syndrome, where they take a look and they're like, holy crap, this is really messed up. So and then now he's going to tell me something even worse. I can't, you know, and he says, well, now you don't want Trump? He goes, you want Hillary and Obama? I'm like, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? No, but we still have to hold the guy accountable. And we have to question everything. And if you trust the words that you're getting out of Washington from anybody on a mainstream TV, these are both brothers still to this day won't turn your radio show on because it's too out of the norm. I don't know. They won't respect me and the fact that I've spent thousands of hours getting educated on this country and all the problems in the world and give me one little bit, but yet they will give it all to these moronic neocons that want war.
Rob, I understand this, and one of the hardest things to let go of is a family member that you can't turn in the right direction. I get that. I understand that. I have heard this from thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the years.
You know what, John? The sad part is these are the two last two brothers, the good ones. These are the good ones.
Rob?
We'll be out at Vince's farm.
Rob, the best you're going to be able to do is to shake your brother's hand and wish him good luck.
Yeah, for self-discovery.
Well, and you know what? You know? If he wants to be intellectually lazy, and that's apparently what he is, because he's not willing to do his own due diligence. You know, why don't you know, have you ever tried to approach with him, prove me wrong, rather than trying to prove yourself right?
I actually have. I said, you know, I turned it on him. He says, you don't have any proof. I said, what proof do you have that what proof is there that Assad actually did use?
Sean Hannity said so, damn it, and he wouldn't lie.
Oh, that's it. That's it. You know what? They're it's it. They're awesome. So, you know, John, it's coming down to it. Those few good people, like I said, you know, at the very least, I mean, I have people that understand and are paying attention. and are doing their job. It's just painful when you think you actually had people that came to the surface, but they got happy with Trump, and they're like, oh, he can do nothing wrong now. No, actually he can, and it's still our job to do, you know, to hold them accountable and to make sure everybody does what they need to be doing.
Yeah.
So,
well,
know,
Rob, I don't
be a rough road.
Look, I don't envy your position, but it's a good thing that you still have a family, at least two out of the how many brothers you have. Count your blessings on that one, even though that they are been hanatized.
Well, time will tell. And then, honestly, John, you and I know this, as God is our witness. The truth will crawl its way out. Sometimes like a fart in church. It's still going to stink, and it's going to be, you know.
No, I would have been the guy behind you in the next pew laughing, and I would have had to have left because I know I'm not supposed to be laughing in church. Not the guy that caused me to laugh, but I would be the one that had to leave.
Absolutely, sir. God bless you.
All
take
right.
care, okay?
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate your call. By the way, the attitude of business people and owners of business. Remember the cutthroat guy I was talking about? Well, you heard the story about this guy that was hauled off of a flight. He was a Vietnamese doctor named David Dow. And I've seen the video. He was violently removed from a United Airlines flight that literally left him dazed and bloodied. Now, the initial reports that came out on this deal was an overbooked flight. Now, I have gone on airplanes before that they overbooked it, and they would offer you a deal. They'd offer you to put you first on another flight. Nah, you didn't want to do that. Okay, well, we'll give you a voucher, and it'll be twice as much as what this just cost you. And, you know, if there's not another flight out, we'll put you up in a hotel. We'll give you a meal voucher, whatever the case may be. Well, this flight was not overbooked. If you were to look at this, there were four United Airlines employees that were deadheading. This is what they call not being actual personnel working on a flight. You work for the company, you take up a seat, and you're going someplace, and you got to get there. I understand all that. But this flight, 3411, it was not an overbooked flight. They need to find a seat for their four employees. So what do? They walked in and picked people. Hey, you know, you got to go. We're pulling you off this flight. It's overbooked. Did they ask for volunteers for this? I don't think so. They subjectively went in, looked at whomever they wanted to, and decided this guy's got to go, that guy's got to go, this guy. We need four seats. Get out. These people were needed in Louisville the next day, not the same day, the following day. And how the company looked at this, United Airlines, well, these were must-ride passengers. Now, four passengers were selected. The story goes that, well, three of the four gave up their seats willingly. The doctor did not. So what happens? They drug him off that damn plane. And what's really sad about this is the other passengers on board the plane with the thugs that drug his butt off that plane. And this guy was yelling, just kill me. Just kill me. Wow. A man on a commercial flight saying those words, being beat up and drug off of a plane, just kill me, just kill me. Did the guy have a death wish? I doubt it. Sean Spicer called the thing an unfortunate incident. Who runs that airlines? Oscar Munoz. And he released a statement. He said, the CEO of United Airlines has apologized for the truly horrific removal of a passenger from an overbooked flight. lie. It was not overbooked. He said he continues to be disturbed by the incident. Well, Oscar, how about a taste of your own medicine? How about several people come into your office and drag you around like a little rag doll? Would you consider that to be truly horrific? Why don't you put yourself in the doctor's shoes? He paid his airfare. He had a right to be on that flight, not to be drug off. Mr. Munoz, you're like that other CEO I was talking about. No matter what. And of course, he made assurances that he's going to fix what's broken so it never happens again. Really. Really. Well, I could be worried about his stock prices because evidently the stocks dropped on his airline. By the way, are they up there helping with the chemtrail spraying? Maybe as we're dragging him around like a rag doll in his own office, we can spray him with some stuff that he's putting out on his own planes. Maybe. All right. Running out of time here. Folks, we really need you to help this network. Am I a man to trust? I hope so. Do we need to continue what we're doing here? I would hope that you think that we must. So how do we accomplish that? Give us a little bit more ammunition. I don't need you to aim the gun. We're doing that. Don't take me off the sights. Don't make me scramble around on the floor for a little bit of ammunition to fire at the enemy. I need to be concentrating, putting those rounds downrange at the enemy. But provide us with a little bit more ammunition here. We sincerely need your help and your donations for this network to continue. So vote your pocketbook, vote your conscience, vote how you value this network. Vote with your dollars. I'm not running for a political office. I don't want to. Somebody mentioned the other day, oh, you should be president. No, I'd be walking around that damn White House with a 50 caliber. And God help you. But if you believe in what we're doing and you want to see us continue, please supply us with the ammunition to allow us to continue the fight. I'm not interested in winning or losing a battle or two. I'm interested in winning the war. And the war is your freedom and your liberty, not just for you, but for your children and your grandchildren. Help us, folks. We've done a pretty good job in these 13 years up to now. And damn it, if it takes another 13 years to do it, and this cranky old fart has to stay behind a microphone for another 13 years, well, then so be it. You think I'm cranky now? Wait till I really get old. Call us, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Mikey, as if you don't have your hands full with the Kelso deal. Three people on at the same time. Or go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Donate button at the top of the page. That's our PayPal. Give generously. Supply us the ammunition so we can win this war. The battle, literally, for your freedom and your liberty.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.